Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda, coming at you from Oceanside, California. It's about 68 degrees. It was really gorgeous earlier, and now we're getting a little cooler. It cooled down. We had this heat wave before. So I want to welcome all the guests, people listening through Listen Now, Yola, those are just trying to get in. I think Bill and those are trying to get in. So we'll check it out. We are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamiliesWithAYS.com. And the call-in number is 646-378-0321. And I have want to welcome Rod. That was he trying to get in earlier. Those who are listening by the Listen Now app or default players, please be welcome to the show. I did find a new person today. I'm going to get into all the headlines, but I had invited him to call into the show, and he's a candidate for governor of California. There's several, apparently now, Republicans running, and his name is Glenn Champ, C-H-A-M-P, and I went to his website. Boy, this guy's got a God-centered view of the world, and I'd love to talk to him and ask him a few questions. He said that he would personally turn back on the water for the San Joaquin Valley with his own wrench, and I'm like, yay, got my vote. Anyway, so I'd love to hear all of his stories, but I want to start with a really cool passage in the scripture, and we'll get to the headlines, and we'll get to the items going on in my neighborhood and around the world, because there's a ton of it. Rod said, he says, more did I made it, but was shut down in the middle minute I tried to log in to blog in the chat room. Well, I know. I don't know what's going on, but people are having trouble getting in. So hopefully those can get in that want to, because I've sent out plenty of information today. So let's continue with our lesson before I get into the secular world views. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 23, and it was quite poignant last Sunday. I'd like to share with you. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So thank you for listening to our prayers. Welcome, Bill. Rod's having trouble getting in and staying in. So I saw Ron coming on earlier, but on the online, but I don't think he's still with us. The things going on in my neighborhood today, before I get to all the headlines, we had a meeting Monday. And we actually had spies in the meeting. This was the one where we're trying to get these attorneys to help us sue the owners of this property because we're going crazy. They even tried to steal the sign-in sheet, but the gal who was passing it around went out and nailed these guys and got it back. And I don't know who it was, but apparently the managers, the evil managers, now know about this, and I'm sure they're reporting back to the owner, and his name is Steve, but we're still fighting, so we're doing the best we can. We're probably a month away or so from getting this actually done as soon as we get the other questionnaires filled out. And so I have to walk the parks, go out with my friends, make sure people fill them out and get them in quickly because I don't want to wait much longer. Who knows what retaliatory things these people will do. So that's what we're up against at this point. We had a great turnout to the meeting. It was wall-to-wall people, standing room only. They ran out of chairs. There was an overflow into the hallway. It was, like, amazing. Everybody asked questions, of course, and there was one individual who he asked, because people don't have garages here. We have these little sheds that have locks on them. Well, this one guy says, do the managers have a right to go in and search through your shed? And the attorney says, absolutely not. And I looked at this guy like he had two heads, but so I reached into my purse, which I usually carry around an extra pocket constitution, and I picked up my pocket constitution, and I walked over to the gentleman, and I handed it to him. I said, check out the Fourth Amendment. Hello? Bill was typing in Congress votes to hold Lerner in contempt, now voting on appointing a special counsel to investigate. Yeah, I heard about that today, Bill. There's so much in the news, I can't even keep up with it. But I'm going to go through the local stuff. I'm going to go through some of this stuff today that we started yesterday on my answer to the general plans or your comprehensive plans and this Agenda 21. And believe me, they're pushing and pushing and pushing every level, every day. I got one from Tom DeWeese today talking about China, how China is involved in this, not just with Harry Reid, but in other areas all over the United States, gobbling up land. And because these people are stupid, they're selling their souls out to China and us too. So this is all about Agenda 21, and there's a lot of stuff I'd like to get to, but I'm going to get to this first. This is another Agenda 21 right here in my neighboring town, Vista. And it says, Vista Planning Better, Safer Biking Network. These are all libtards writing this stuff. It says the bicycle master plan update may include physical barriers to drivers. Isn't that special? And it is true, because I was reading it, and I know I've got it in my emails, I heard it on the radio today, about this vehicle mileage tax. Welcome back, Rod. Hope you can hear me. The vehicle mileage tax, and this is in California, we have to put a stop to this, because if we don't, as goes California, goes the rest of the nation. You guys, other states will adopt this nonsense, and it'll sweep the country. So they are serious. They, apparently, from 2004 till the current date, all of our cars, our automobiles, have these black boxes in them already, which is kind of like LoJack. And so they will be able to figure out your mileage remotely, and then they will just tack it on to your bill for your registration at the end of the year, and that's probably what they're going to do. So we've got to figure out how to get this to not pass, and if they do, then we have to find a way to yank them off of our cars, because believe me, I will find a way to do that. So this thing with the bicycling, this is all this garbage is to get you out of your cars. This is punishment. It's evil. I mean, California's already paying. I think the lowest price of gas right now is $4.19 a gallon. So I don't know what you guys have in your states, but we always get it worse. They hose us, and now they want to make it worse. So in Vista is on the path to creating more and safer bike routes on its roads, but the finish line is still years away. This is what they're saying. Yeah, that's where you get your 2035 and 2050 nonsense. The city is updating its bicycle master plan, which outlines how Vista can improve pedal-powered transportation over the next two or three decades. For instance, barriers might eventually separate bike lanes from traffic lanes on some of the city's busiest roads. This is just awful. The current master plan is outdated, put into place 12 years ago before the Sprinter rail line opened. To bring it up to speed, the city has hired a consultant and is collecting feedback from cyclists through an online survey and public workshops. Yeah, predetermined. So June 19th, I'm going to try to go to that one. There's another one slated for June 19th. The city council members should see the final master plan proposal sometime in the fall. So that's what's going to happen there. And Bill says vehicle Midas tax along with interstate tax, starting the attack against privately owned vehicles. Oh, yeah, they're doing it. I'm going to finish this little article, and then we're going to go to the next one. You guys, if you think you have it bad in your state, wait till you hear what's going on here. So it says, the goal is a network of safe and connected bikeways with the backbone of routes along the city's major thoroughfares. And then it gives all the streets. That network also includes the proposed Inland Rail Trail, oh God, a regional project that seeks to link cycling routes from Escondido to Oceanside. That's a long haul, so I hope this gets shot down. Invest of the trail generally would run along the Sprinter route. Oh, of course it does. Most of Vista's major roads already have bike lanes, so do we in Oceanside. They include a pretty big idea, installation of physical barriers, oh my God, like curbs or planters between cyclists and cars. And no one's going to have any place to park in front of these businesses. Watch. I hope the business people just have a field day with this nonsense and put the kibosh on it. Another possibility would be to paint a 3-foot wide strip, 3 feet wide strip, separating bikes from passing vehicles. Can you picture this mess? The average woman, child, elderly person on a bicycle doesn't feel comfortable. This is these people speaking. This is a quote. Mixing with cars on roadways. Well, isn't that too bad? Why don't you go to Holland, you witch? Said Sherry Ryan, the consultant working with the city on the update. Oh, I'll bet she is. Quote, the hope is that people will use their bikes if there are more protected facilities. They don't want you in your cars. With a $150,000 grant, let's follow the money, with a $150,000 grant in hand, the city hired Ryan, this woman, last year to put the plan together. The grant comes from the SANDAG, yep, good old SANDAG, the Regional Transportation Planning Agency. Vista kicked in another $15,000 to help fund the project, which will serve to guide its city planners. You see how they do this? They buy them. Ryan said recent years have brought a groundswell of people who want to use other modes of transportation. No, they're just louder, Ryan. Nearly half of the 180 or so people who took the bike plan survey said they found the cycling environment in the city poor or very poor. So they only surveyed 180 people. Great. The consulting team hit Vista streets for research and found many bicyclists riding on sidewalks, an indication that people don't feel safe riding on the streets, according to a report detailing existing conditions for cyclists in the city. So this is what we have. Hi, Lonnie. Welcome. I sure hope that – I just wish that Rod could get back in or listen somehow. So this is what, and then the last portion says May is the National Bike Month, and authorities throughout the region plan to encourage people to use bicycles. Of course they do. There are more than 1,340 miles of bikeways in the San Diego region. I don't know why they need more. That's what I said. Get your backside to Holland where you can deal with it. And the other city of Escondido, it says, you're going to love this one. Mosque plan for Escondido area. The Islamic Society of North County, love this, looks to build worship space community center on a five-acre parcel of land. This is in Escondido. This is 12,000 square feet, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you've ever seen a 5,000 square foot house, but it's big. And this is a 12,000 square foot piece. Plans are in the works to construct a mosque near Escondido, creating a third worship space for the Muslims in North County. The mosque would be built on a five-acre plot of land off Rock Springs Road in an unincorporated area between Escondido and San Marcos. Oh, great. And it was purchased in 2010 by the Islamic Society of North County. The group of about 100 people Only 100 has been meeting weekly in rented space in Escondido for the past several years. The society is preparing to submit plans to the county to build a 12,000 square foot mosque and a community center. If approved, construction would begin within 18 months. The group is one of several Muslim organizations in the region. One runs a mosque in Vista, and the other has a facility in Black Mountain Ranch area in west of Rancho Bernardo. This is all in pretty close to me. With the new mosque on the horizon, some smaller Muslim groups are hosting an international bazaar in Escondido's Grape Day Park on Saturday, hoping to educate the community about Islam and build a relationship with future neighbors. Really? It says the second time the bazaar has been held. Last year's event drew smaller crowds than hoped, partially due to bad timing. Well, the bad timing was, unfortunately, this is a quote from one of these clowns, it was during the time of the Boston Marathon bombings, and Society Board Directors member Estella Gibral. So it didn't get much interest. You think? Let me see if I can get some of the rest of this. That's 8. Oh, God. So anyway, let me see if I can find the rest of it. Nope, can't find it. Here it is. Never mind. Got the wrong page. Bear with me, folks. Okay, so it says the women's groups plan the bazaar for Saturday, and the misconceptions about Islam that the bazaar is a great way to bring people together and dispel those false impressions. Quote, things happen out there that Muslims do, unfortunately, that give a really bad name to all Muslims, she said. We just feel the bazaar is an opportunity to build bridges and get to know the community and for our community to interact with the non-Muslim population. The largest mosque in North County, Masjid al-Ittihad Islamic Movement of North America at Anza in Vista, serves about 3,000 Muslims throughout the region. This woman said there is a sizable Muslim population in the Escondido area that would be attracted to the new mosque, but most go now to Vista. Eventually, a public hearing will be held by the county to discuss plans for the Escondido Mosque, but nothing has yet been scheduled. So that's where we are. Poor Rod, he's trying to get in. I wish he could just listen via another method and go from there. I'm going to go to my headlines, so if you guys want to call in and hang in there with me, I'm going to go check these out because there's a lot going on. There was a thing I sent out to many of you folks on the food democracy where you can scream at the stock market for promoting Monsanto. Now, the other news in question is good old Hildebeest talking about anybody can have a gun anywhere, anytime, so she's not happy. Let me get to the article here really quickly. It says, and I commented about this evil witch on Facebook, Hillary Rodham Clinton said Tuesday, the nation's gun culture has gotten way out of balance. I'll tell you who's out of balance, lady. And the U.S. needs to rein in the notion that anybody can have a gun anywhere, anytime. Yes, they can. Second Amendment says so. Which? The former Secretary of State and potential 2016 Democratic presidential candidate, oh, can I throw up now, said the idea that anyone can have a gun is not in the best interest of that approach does not conflict with the rights of the people who own firearms. Really? Just in my lady, Clinton waded into the polarizing issue gun politics during an appearance at the National Council for Behavioral Health Conference, in Maryland, pointing to shootings that involved teens who had been playing loud music and chewing gum in a separate incident, typing of text messages in a movie theater. A quote from her, I think, again, we're way out of balance. I think we've gone to rein in what has become an almost article of faith that anybody can have a gun anywhere, anytime. That's what Hildebeest just said. Another quote from her, and I don't believe that is in the best interest of the vast majority of people, and I think you can say that and still support the right of people to own guns. No, you can't, witch. The Democratic-controlled Senate voted against legislation pushed by President Barry last year that would have expanded background checks for firearm purchases to gun shows and online sales. The legislation came in the aftermath of the deadly Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings in Connecticut, which I believe were a hoax to get that done to us. So the next one is, let me go. I don't have callers yet, but I'm going to keep going. Okay, there's the other headline is the High Court rules in favor of prayer. That was just recent. That was a good decision for prayer in public places. Let's see the next one. Okay, I want to read this one because this is really, really important. This is by Dennis Prager. The other one I sent to Mikey B, and I can't find it anywhere. I must have deleted it. And it was a letter from a service in the armed services to Obama, and it was about Obamacare, and I think Mikey will do that one on Thursday, so I'm going to tune into that one. This is by Dennis Prager. I have been broadcasting for 31 years and writing for longer than that. I do not recall ever saying on radio or in print that a president is doing lasting damage to our country. I did not like the presidencies of Jimmy Carter. That was the last Democrat he voted for, or Bill Clinton, nor did I care for the compassionate conservatism of George W. Bush. In modern political parlance, compassionate is a euphemism for ever-expanding government. Yes, and he was also a big government person. Let's look at the Patriot Act and the NDAA. But he goes on, but I have never written or broadcast that our country was being seriously damaged by a president. So it is with great sadness that I write that President Barack Obama has done and continues to do major damage to America. The only question is whether this can be ever undone. This is equally true domestically and internationally. Domestically, his policies have had a grave impact on the American economy. He has overseen the weakest recovery from a recession in modern American history. He has mired the country in unprecedented levels of debt, about $6.5 trillion, that is $6,500 billion in 5 years, this after calling his predecessor unpatriotic for adding nearly $5 trillion in 8 years, which that's true, but then he doubles down on it, of course. He has fashioned a country in which more Americans now receive government aid, means-tested, let alone non-means-tested, than work full-time. He has no method of paying for this debt other than printing more money, thereby surreptitiously taxing everyone through inflation, including the poor he claims to be helping, and cheapening the dollar to the point that some countries are talking about another reserve currency. Where did I hear that? Oh, that was on Ron's show. Absolutely. And saddening the next generations with enormous debts. With his 2,500-page ACA, he has made it impossible for hundreds of thousands, soon millions, of Americans to keep their individual or employer-sponsored group health insurance. He has stymied American medical innovation with an utterly destructive tax on medical devices. He has caused hundreds of thousands of workers to lose their full-time jobs because of the health care costs imposed by Obamacare on employers. His Internal Revenue Service used its unparalleled power to stymie political dissent. No one has been held accountable. His ambassador to Libya and three other Americans were murdered by terrorists in Benghazi, Libya, and no one has been blamed. The only blame the Obama administration has leveled was on a video maker in California who had nothing to do with the assault. In this president's White House, the buck stops nowhere. Among presidents in modern American history, he has also been a uniquely divisive force. It began with his forcing Obamacare through Congress, the only major legislation in American history to be passed with no votes from the opposition party. Though he has had a unique opportunity to do so, he has not only not helped heal racial tensions, he has exacerbated them. His intrusions into the Trayvon Martin affair, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Well, first you have to have sex with a woman, you fool. And into the confrontation between a white police officer and a black Harvard professor, the police acted stupidly, were unwarranted, irresponsible, demagogic, and most of all, divisive. He should have been reassuring black Americans that America is, in fact, the least racist country in the world. something he should know as well as anybody, having been raised only by whites and being the first half-breed black, that's his words, not mine, elected the leader of a white-majority nation. Instead, he echoed the inflammatory speech of professional race baiters such as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. He has also divided the country by an economic class, using classic Marxist language against the rich and corporate profits. Regarding America in the world, he has been, if possible, even more damaging. The United States is at its weakest, has fewer allies, and has less military and diplomatic influence than at any time since before World War II. One wonders if there is a remaining ally nation that trusts him. And worse, no American enemy fears him. If you are a free movement, the Democratic, Iranian, and Syrian oppositions, or a free country, Israel, you have little or no reason to believe that you have a steadfast ally in the United States. Even non-democratic allies no longer trust America. Barack Obama has alienated our most important and longest-standing Arab allies, Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Both the anti-Muslim Brotherhood and the anti-Iran Arab states have lost respect for him, and his complete withdrawal of American troops from Iraq has left that country with weekly bloodbaths. Virtually nothing Barack Obama has done has left America or the world better since he became president. Nearly everything he has touched has been made worse. He did, however, promise before the 2008 election, quote, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America," end quote. That is the one promise he has kept. What does it take for the American people to wake up? And it says at the end, "Send this to all your friends. We are losing this country." I'm going to quote this from Ronald Reagan. It's called The Speech, A Time for Choosing. And this was 1964, ladies and gentlemen, from Ronald Reagan. Quote, "The founding fathers knew a government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they knew when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. So we have come to a time for choosing." And that particular piece is one of my favorites. So I just wanted to share that with you because it is really, really important. Thanks, Cal. I try not to listen, Cal. Cal says, "Linda, did you hear Obama saying those 200 schoolgirls kidnapped could have been one of my daughters?" Again, I reiterate, you don't have children. Those were adopted. I don't even know what sex or gender or transgender your beard wife is. So enough of that nonsense. Let's go to, there was a couple really cool articles I got to get to. Okay, here's another one. You're going to love this. This is up my alley. This is all about this nonsense with the Agenda 21. White House climate report. Quote, "Steel will rise 8 inches, 11 inches, 4 feet, or 6 feet. Okay. The National Climate Assessment, released today by the White House, says that as a result of climate change, which is bogus, the sea level could rise 8 inches or 11 inches, 4 feet or 6 feet by the year 2100. But that a rise of less than 8 inches or more than 6.6 feet is considered implausible. Scientists are working to narrow the range of sea level rise projections for this century, said the report. Recent projections show that for even the lowest emissions scenarios, thermal expansion of ocean waters and the melting of small mountain glaciers will result in 11 inches of sea level rise by 2100, even without any contribution from the ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica. This is this report. Yeah, right. This suggests that about 1 foot of global sea level rise by 2100 is probably a realistic low end. On the high end, recent work suggests that 4 feet is plausible. In the context of risk-based analysis, some decision makers may wish to use a wider range of scenarios, from 8 inches to 6 feet by 2100. In particular, the high end of these scenarios may be useful for decision makers with a low tolerance for risk. Although scientists cannot yet assign likelihood to any particular scenario, in general, higher emission scenarios that lead to more warming would be expected to lead to higher amounts of sea level rise. This is a quote from these idiots. The report explains the uncertainties the arise in trying to predict future changes in the sea level. The key issue in predicting future rates of global sea level rise is to understand and predict how ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica will react to a warming climate. Current projections of global sea level rise do not account for the complicated behavior of these giant ice slabs as they interact with the atmosphere, the ocean and the land. Lack of knowledge about the ice sheets and their behavior is the primary reason that projections of global sea level rise includes such a wide range of plausible future conditions. Early efforts at semi-empirical models suggest much higher rates of sea level rise, as much as 6 feet by 2100. This is in the report. More recent work suggests that a high end of 3 to 4 feet is more plausible. It is not clear, however, says the report, whether these statistical relationships will hold in the future or that they are appropriate in modeling their reliability into question. Some decision makers may wish to consider a broader range of scenarios such as 8 inches or 6 feet by 2100 in the context of risk-based analysis. Says this report, sea level rise lower than 8 inches or higher than 6 is considered implausible by 2100. Under the worst-case scenario, according to the report, 5,790 square miles of U.S. territory could be inundated by 2050. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to go out and catch a unicorn tomorrow. The next quote from this nonsense, more than 5,700 square miles and more than $1 trillion worth of property and structures are at risk of inundation from sea level rise of 2 feet above current sea level, an elevation which could be reached by 2050 or under a high rate of sea level rise of approximately 6.6 feet by 2100. 20 years later, assuming a lower rate rise of 4 feet by 2100, and sooner in areas of rapid land subsidence. Roughly half of the vulnerable property value is located in Florida, and the most valuable port cities are Miami, Greater New York, New Orleans, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and Virginia Beach. In a letter releasing the report, this is the one you got to listen to. John P. Holdren, director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, who was one of his original czars, by the way, back when he was first put into office, and he's a eugenicist, and he is a commie from the get-go. Holdren and Catherine D. Sullivan, administrator, listen to this, of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, said that the findings of experts who produced the report describe the current state of climate science and will help policymakers in responding to climate change. Oh, you can see what they have in store for us. Quote, their findings and key messages not only describe the current state of that science, but also the current and future impacts of climate change on major U.S. regions and key sectors of the U.S. economy, wrote Holdren and Sullivan. This information establishes a strong base that government at all levels of U.S. society can use in responding to the twin challenges of changing our policies to mitigate further climate change and preparing for the consequences of climate changes that can no longer be avoided. Well, well, well. And I had a comment in here, but I'm not sure where mine went because I want to read it to you if I can find it, because I did definitely say something. I had to explain to them who this guy is, and it's not in here because it's been buried. But isn't that special? And I just wanted people to know who this guy is. But I'm going to go pick up this one right now, and I think you're on the air. Hi, is this Bill or Leah?
I'm here. It's Leah. I've got you
okay.
On mute. I'm at a game and everything, but I'm in on the show. I'm listening.
Okay.
I might chime in from time to time.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I got a whole half hour, and I just wanted to welcome everybody else. And I don't know if we got Giggy Mom. Welcome to the show, and hopefully all the other guests, and I hope Rod can hear us because he tries so desperately. I'm going to go through this one, and then I'll go back to – so I just want everybody's input on that whole thing on Holdren. Did you guys know who Holdren is or was?
I had never heard of him until you just said
okay.
it. I mean, I had
okay.
never.
Right. Back when all these czars were put into place and Glenn was not still back on Fox. And he talked about Van Jones, who was also one of his czars, probably the climate change czar at the time or whatever the heck he was. Oh, no, maybe he was the job czar. They're all communists. And this John Holdren's name came up. There was several that I had a lot of stuff to talk about. And one of them, let me think of his name. In a second, it'll come to me. But John Holdren caught my eye because I remember looking all these people up and their ideologies. This guy is a complete commie, as are most of the people that this man appoints and is associated with. If they're not out and out just plain old socialists, they are full-fledged commies. It's horrible what's going on in this country. And that piece by Dennis Prager was absolutely astounding. I wish I could have kept or found my the piece that I sent to Mikey B. from the military man who wrote to Obama on his miserable ACA policy, which is the healthcare thing. So basically, yeah, John Holdren is also a eugenicist. I think the guy's name that I'm thinking that I was trying to remember is Kevin Jennings. You're going to love this guy. This is the school safety czar. This man is the head of, he's probably a member of NAMBLA. This guy is the head of one of the heads of the LGBT, you know, those clowns. This guy is probably a pedophile and God knows what else, you know, pushing his agenda. Oh, and
that's
he's
what
the
we
school
need in our
safety
school system.
Yeah, this is why we have in California since 2010, we have had the LGBT schooling. They make them learn about this stuff so that they can stop bullying. They also have now the transgender or gender neutral bathrooms. People are fighting that. We've been fighting that for a couple years now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. In the chat room, John Holdren has been posted by Gigi Mom. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, he's on the bandwagon to tax us. And again, we've got, like I said, there's upcoming meetings, and I'm going to go to every meeting that I can. I'm going to go to the Vista one that I talked about on the top of the show where the bicycle lanes, so I can scream at them about that. And this one coming up on May 15th, which is a Thursday evening, and I can still hear Terry's show, but I'm going to go down in person. I have made my copies. I'm going to read this to you guys so you can understand what I'm going to hand out physically to every member that I can get my hands on. I may have to go and spend more money and get more copies, but I really need to do this. Because these people are talking about doing that miserable roundabouts. They've already done, they've screwed up Carlsbad. They've got all the rest of it. They've got it in Encinitas. They've got it everywhere. So it's pretty bad. Anyway, it's like a page and a half, and hopefully I won't lose them with just what I put down here. But I needed to get all this stuff in there because they don't understand this Agenda 21. They don't understand this is a total attack on private property and private property ownership of automobiles as well. They want us out of our cars. They want us out of our private lands. They want us out of our houses. They want us herded into these cities. So the top of my page, it says in the center as the heading, the ideology and the end game. And I have bullet points. And it says, a couple of facts about CO2. Earth's atmosphere is made up of several major gases. To make this simple, let's picture a football stadium with about 10,000 people in the stands. Assume that each person represents a small volume of one type of gas. Well, carbon dioxide represents only about four parts in that 10,000, the smallest volume of any major atmospheric gas. I got that from Mark Levin's book. I'm taking these from places that I needed to pull them from. And this one is from a friend of mine who put this together for a speech that we did in Vista. The strategy used by the city planners and adopted, but I've changed this to Oceanside, adopted by Oceanside is called traffic calming, and that's those ugly roundabouts. One element of that is to create narrower traffic lanes, extending sidewalks and adding planters, adding bike lanes, and these stupid roundabouts. Experience shows that reductions in speed of 25% or more are achieved by bike lane narrowing of city streets. But the slower speeds cause increased carbon emissions by as much as 50% per passenger mile of each auto that slows to 25% from an average of 35 miles per hour. The consumption of gasoline would increase carbon emission by 1 pound of CO2 per mile per car per day or more than 5,000 tons of CO2 per year. The next bullet point, this is from the mouths of the freaks that started Agenda 21. Alexander King from the Club of Rome said, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All of these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy, then, is humanity. End quote. Now from Maurice Strong, who was also at the summit, 1992 Rio, that kicked off this Agenda 21, Sustainable Development for the 21st Century, by the way. Maurice Strong, quote, current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, the use of fossil fuels, appliances, good old appliances, home and work air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable, end quote. In 1792, James Madison's thoughts on private property. This term in its particular application means that dominion, which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world, in exclusion of every other individual. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. And that is my friend James Madison from the past. Now, I want to explain, because we talked about SANDAG in the other article. Okay, it stands for San Diego and Associated Governments. This is their step one. This is in their own website. It says, build a representative population that looks like the real San Diego. Because, see, these guys are working on the 2035, 2050 models. Step two, assign a work location to workers and a school location to students. Oh, so they're just going to play God. Step three, determine certain mobility characteristics of individuals and households. Assign each household either zero cars, one car, two cars, or three or more cars, depending upon what these people determine your needs are. You get this? Step four, the schedule of the day. SANDAG will predict a daily activity pattern for each individual. There are three categories of tours or household trips. Check this out. Mandatory, joint, and non-mandatory tours. Those are the three. The SANDAG model schedules each tour type by predicting how many tours of that type there are, who will participate in the tour, where the main destination is, and when to depart and arrive. Now, isn't that special? For individuals assigned a mandatory activity pattern, the model first assigns the number of work tours or school tours they will make. After this has been determined, the model selects the time of departure from and arrival back home for each tour. Oh, nice. After mandatory tours have been scheduled, the time remaining for other tours is calculated. Does that mean there's a curfew that after dark you have to go back to your gulag? Remaining intervals of time are called residual time windows and other tours in these open slots, you know, like grocery shopping and other trips you might like to take. This is my editorial here. Not sure about you, but this is not a world I want to live in. This attitude against private property and forcing people to do things against their will is called fascism. What are your thoughts on that piece? I don't know if you're still there, but anyway, I guess Leah's doing other things. I would love you guys to call in 646-378. No. Go ahead.
I'm here. I'm sorry. But no, what you said, I actually had no clue of. That was a lot of information for me that I can look up and touch base on. I think your flyer is amazing. Your flyer is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
That's awesome. That's going to grab attention.
Oh, God, I hope so.
The bathroom thing with all that is absolutely ridiculous. I have no clue of any of that either.
This is what's going on in California. We have tried so hard, Leah, here to fight it. We have tried referendums. We have tried petitions. We have tried everything to fight it. We're still fighting all of this stuff. I mean, there's many parents up in arms. So losing the Constitution, yeah, they're shredding that thing. They've been shredding that for 20 years, Cal. you know, this is the flyer I'm going to hand out in person to these people. And I may speak from it when I get a chance to say something, or I'll just do it off the top of my head. I don't know where I'm going to go with it. But, you know, I have to speak in public. I cannot play games anymore. I
speak to people every time I get a chance. And on your flyer, I really like the fact how you use the football stadium with the people, how you use that to explain, because people will actually take hold to that easier than explaining it the other way, because they don't necessarily know what those things mean. So if you explain it in a way that people can understand it, they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you've done
I borrowed
an
excellent
job of that.
Thank you. I borrowed that from Mark Levin. That's from his book, Liberty and Tyranny. And it stuck out in my mind because I had been, you know, as I read it, of course, and then I reread the book because I was studying Agenda 21. And so all these things started to click and all the dots were connected. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go back into, I've read so many books, Leah, I don't even know where to start. I'm like inundated with stuff. You should see my desk right now. It's like insane.
I'm going to have you bring some when you come from California to Indiana so that I can borrow some and
get
read up on them.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will make a list of the ones that I think, you know, are really, really awesome and the authors, okay? And then I'll just make about 5 to 10 copies and I'll put them in my suitcase because I am bringing these packages, and you guys are going to have to make some copies for yourselves because it gets expensive after a while. MSP Industry Alert. I'm bringing 5 of these. There's like 28 pages. It's double-sided, but I did it all in black and white. It's still quite comprehensive and very easily to understand. It was given to me by my friend Ken in Vista, who does so much research on the Internet. I think he's glued to the chair. And so it talks about Obamacare, and it's like hugely explanatory as to what's going to happen, what they've done, what's in it, how bad it is, and all these things. So this is what I do. If I can remember this evening before Idle comes on, which is not an important thing, but at least I like to vote for the kids. But anyway, so I will try to get that together. I had a list somewhere, and if I can just try to remember my most important ones, I'll put the authors down and everything, and that way you guys can go to Amazon, you can go to libraries, you can go, you know, that sort of thing. Whatever's on sale, do it, you know.
Right, most definitely.
And just get 4 at a time. Start with, that's what I do, because if I go on there, I try to make it so that I don't have to pay for shipping, and that way it works out really well. And then I just kind of stack them up, and I just go through them like crazy. I read one, and then I read some of the stuff on the air like I've done. And it's really, really important that we start reading. And, of course, I like to read from Scripture. So I know you're muting yourself. That's okay. But I have 12 minutes. Bill, please call in. Anybody? Lonnie? Yo, Kiki Mom, it is 646-378-0321. And I'm going to put this in real quick. 646-378-0321. Make sure it's right. You guys, please call. I've got a few minutes. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what's going on. I'm also getting ready to, I have 2 courses, and they do this every time because sometimes things change. I am listed with the Registrar of Voters, and I will be a poll worker this year again. So twice for the primary, et cetera, and for the general election. And I get to do my 2 hours or 3 hours on the online training course. And then I have my invitation, of course, to go in person. And I think it's a half a day. So whatever I do, I'll bring plenty of water and stuff and be able to take my MetaFast meals with me and just do it. Because it's always good to be reminded from time to time what you're doing and what you're supposed to do and what's legal and all that. So I am a very active person, as you might imagine. And again, 646-378-0321. I would have had other people in here. I know Mikey B's working. He doesn't get home till much later. And Ron has family stuff going on. So all these things that are happening.
How many people do we have on the air tonight, just out of curiosity?
Okay, well, I know that Bill just called in, so I'm going to pick him up right now.
Okay.
And I know he's got a whole crew. Bill, how are you doing, and how many people you got there?
I got a small group tonight. Folks,
hello, Linda.
Was earlier
hello.
Left early. I'm down to 4 here, but I only
God
got a group here. You know, I don't think a lot of people, when you start talking about what they're up to. And
right.
They blow it off. You know, they don't believe it. They don't believe anything like that can happen. And they, for some reason, they don't go check on it to see if it's right or not. Myself, you know, if someone comes up to me something like it, I'd be going to look it up and check it out. I want to know.
Absolutely. You want to either prove it or disprove it, right, for yourself.
Right. I think a problem, though, here in Indiana that we have is just, you know, you're in California, so you've got, you know, it is so different there. So things that have hit there first haven't hit
right.
here. So until they hear you talk about these things to know that it is hitting there and
man.
You know, it will be here, you know what I mean?
You bet.
That's what it takes, though, in order for people to see, wow, it really is here. And I think that's what I'm trying to tell people. Check this out. See what's really going
Good.
On. You know, I
Good.
Understand this is Indiana, and I understand we're a rural community and we're a rural state, but let's go to California and let's look up their comprehension plan and let's check out their comprehension plan. You know, so it is getting out there. It's just going to take time, you know.
Yeah,
so.
What you have to do, Leah, when you guys are out there doing this stuff, is you have to explain to them that you personally, now you know someone who lives here and is going
exactly.
through it and up to her eyeballs in it. And We're getting a tsunami from these people in Sacramento. We're getting it from the idiots from Washington, D.C. They're targeting us first because that's what they do. They have been doing it for 40 or 50 years because they want the rest of the country to follow in our stead. And this is bad. So you have to explain to them, please don't, you know, heads up, put your defenses up now. Build a brick wall around yourself so that we, you know, tell your congressman, your senator, your in your state, your governor, that you do not want to go the way of this state. Please just say, no, we don't like California. We don't want to be like this. We don't want gender neutral bathrooms. We don't want this nonsense here. We don't want Agenda 21. We don't want Common Core. You have to tell them. They're going to steal. They're going to do it, you know. You might be the last ones on the list, and you will be the last resistance, but they'll come for your property too, you know, like they did in Germany. And somebody said, well, first they came for the Catholics, and I wasn't a Catholic, so I didn't stand up and say anything. Well, look what happened there. That didn't work out too well, did it?
You're starting to see the pieces of their puzzle come together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge.
You know, take the big fit about Nevada. Get to look at Harry Reid, Inside Investing. He's invested with the Chinese who want, and then it goes on, you know, and then right back around, well, they're invested in green energy, and here they are over here pushing the climate change. And then you start looking, and you realize, well, Pelosi's tied into green energy, and Harry Reid's tied into it there. Then you've got, you know, Obama and Valerie Jarrett were both tied into it. With the Chicago Carbon Exchange.
Right. There was
and
many people. Yeah, there was. Right.
You know, the list just keeps going out there. Well,
sure
they're going to go after the energy. Two tiers. One, they're going to go after it because they want to force you to buy their energy. But at the same time, they're going to jack up the price of one so they can jack up the price of the other so that when you do have to buy their energy, it's going to be costly. They're going to profit. And that's what it's all about. There isn't one of these people sitting there in Congress, the Senate, or even in the damn White House. There's not one of them qualified to be sitting there telling us about global warming and the climate.
That's correct. Absolutely. Just for a second, for 19 seconds, this is how I feel about my city council and the clowns in D.C.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I thought that was cute, so I just thought I'd share that for a minute. You know, you get to a point. You just want to take out your 12-gauge and just go after them all. It's crazy. Oh, relax, NSA.
The show for Cheers. Where Frazier sits at the end of the bar. And
right.
Frazier, he is so smart compared to all these other people in this bar. And the things that he sees going on while he's sitting there, And his reactions to those things, well, I get the feeling like that sometime when dealing with Democrats and those who just don't want to open up and look into things. I'm looking at, like, it's amazing you can walk and go anywhere, chew gum at the same time, everything. I can't believe it. Because they just have no clue to nothing.
Yeah, well, I just want to thank those who are leaving. I know Cal's leaving and Yo's leaving. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks so much. But we still have 4 minutes. Keep going, Bill.
You know, they want to separate the relationship between parents and children. They want to separate the relationship between families, and they want to separate the relationship that people have with God, because in their weird sense, they think that they're the ones that should be worshipped and everybody should be kissing their butt, and somehow they are a better part of the race than we are, the rest of us are.
Well, they're the elitist crowds. They really do believe their own BS, you know, and they think that theirs doesn't stink as well. They think that we're just resources that they can tax and control and treat like sheep or cattle. Yeah, you know, well, first of all, I'm not a sheep.
Our electors seem to think they're the only ones that went to college.
Well, it's not only...
The population is stupid because they didn't have their life. But they'd be wrong, because most of the rest of us that did go to college, we didn't go there to party and our dad pay our way or some kind of political crap. You know how that all goes with their families. And that didn't happen. We had to earn our ways, and we had to earn our way involved us studying our butts off to make the grades to earn the scholarships or whatever we got. So, you know, and it's amazing. They get up here all the time, and they'll say something, and you'll be... To me, I'm like, I cannot believe this person went to college. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard anybody say.
Well,
Linda Jackson does it. Nancy Pelosi does it. Harry Reid does it. Harry Reid says something, and then 2 days later says, well, I didn't say that. Well, you're right there on damn tape. You're right there saying it, dummy.
He's got Alzheimer's. I swear he's got Alzheimer's. Don't. I think there's something wrong with him. And I think Pelosi's the same way.
He reminds me of the cartoon character Mr. Burns off of Homer Simpson or whatever.
Yeah,
Simpson.
Well.
He desperately reminds me of him. And Harvey Waxman, I don't know what he reminds me of. A mouse.
Oh, God. Don't even go there. But, no, look, they really do think that we are sheep. And I have news for them. I'm not a sheep, and these people are not my shepherd, and you know what I'm talking about, and their voice is not the one I listen to. So they can pound it. I don't care. They will find out someday, and whatever day that is, when it's time for them to be called to judgment, they'll find out. And it's probably not soon enough for you and me, but that's the way it is. They'll find out. Every knee shall bow, and they will not be reigning supreme anywhere. So I want to thank you guys so much. I got 90 seconds left. I want to play a little promo, see if I can get that in.
Have a good night.
Got to listen to Terry's.
God bless you.
God bless.
Yeah,
Terry's
God bless.
Show. Thanks so much. Terry's show is tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern. Everybody, got to love Terry. She'll put out a promo, and we'll do this one right now. So I think I can get it. If I can get it to play, I'll... Sometimes it plays. There we go.
Hey, everybody. We just wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight for the Constitution Hour. And every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at PatriotFamilies.com. And I'd also like to invite you to stop in on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for the Hoot and Holler Show. And on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. And on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for our very own Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. Also on Thursday nights at 9 p.m., you should be tuning in to Mikey B. and the Higher Truth Radio. I'd like to also invite you, if you're not already a member, to stop by our website, join up, become a member, become one of our family. That's patriotfamilieswithays.com. Hope to see you there.
Thanks, guys. We're out. Love you. See you tomorrow night. Be blessed.